Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, or whatever the modern replacement for that completely hokey radio introduction is. You're listening to Ask an Atheist with Sam Olvey. I happen to be that Sam Olvey. Our phone number is 844-SKEPTIC, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Maybe I should say skeptic a few more times. I'd like to tell you about a change in our language that I am happy to announce, and I have been tasked with announcing with this changing. So, Meredith and Wes, when you when your day is over and you've worked and you're tired and you lay down, what is it called?
Sleep?
A napcident.
Right, no. it's now dlerping. D-L-E-R-P-I-N-G.
All
dlerping?
Right.
Dlerping. When you go to sleep, it's dlerping.
Okay.
Would you like accidentally go to sleep? You accidentally lay down on the couch after your hard day at work and...
Yeah, you're dlerping. So dlerping. English is as we all know, a completely prescriptivist language passed down to us from the English gods upon high. And one of those English gods happens to be my lovely wife, Becky, who this week...
Teaches Spanish.
Yeah, who teaches Spanish. It makes her job... Well, I mean, she's the language lady. She's a language goddess. Who this week unfortunately injured herself in a cooking accident. In the most domestic way possible, she had promised me a steak. And
oh, no.
Yeah, it was... And then she dropped in a hot oil, second-degree burns. She's the second person in this house with second-degree burns. I a couple years ago, I managed to do that myself.
Yours wasn't from a steak, though.
No, mine was... I was buying her... Actually, it's kind of funny, because we've both sustained injuries getting the other one comestibles. She was cooking me a steak... I was cleaning out a growler to get her some of this cranberry cider that I thought was lovely, that I thought she would like. So it's, yeah.
I guess that's kind of poetically ironic.
It's not as, it's not Romeo and Juliet, but, you know, there it is.
I'll take it.
So Becky, the thing about secondary burns is that you're on painkillers because they hurt. They don't really do much else other than hurt. I mean, I suppose they could get infected and get bad.
They itch, too.
Well, they hurt and then they itch, which is kind of the same thing. But, so Becky's been on painkillers. And Becky on painkillers is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
I can attest to this.
Yeah. And so one of the things that's been going on is she's been sending us messages. And even on a phone keyboard where it tries to help you, the phone keyboard has checked out at this point. It's like, I don't know what you're doing. And so it's no longer sleeping. It's dlerping. And given Becky's primacy in the English language, the English is wrong. Becky is right. It's dlerping now. All right?
All right.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Yeah. You're not listening to this while you're sleeping. You're listening to this while you're dlerping. And in honor of Becky, we're going to talk local news. All of it bad. So this is the Becky Bad News segment.
Oh, no.
A highly religious Oregon couple has pleaded guilty to criminal mistreatment and negligent homicide for their part in the death of their newborn daughter in March of last year. Sarah Elaine Mitchell delivered twins Evelyn and Jennifer at 32 weeks gestation in the home she shared with her husband, Travis. Jennifer weighed just 3.5 pounds and stopped breathing around 4 hours after being born. A Clackamas County medical examiner who was called to her home told the family that the surviving twin was at medical risk and required immediate care, but the family refused. This is the fifth couple from the followers of Christ Church, not followers of the town in New Zealand, to be charged with crimes related to medical neglect of their children, which include an infant born to Sarah Mitchell's sister. The plea deal included an agreement for the church to post a statement inside their building stating that everyone in the church should always seek adequate medical care for their children.
Is that really going to do anything?
Probably not. They'll just say Mammon or Gog or Magog or
it sounds
pillar
like a little
of salt
warning
or,
on a pack of cigarettes, doesn't
right,
it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
This church will freaking
warning.
Kill you, Surgeons yeah. General. Yeah.
Take your babies to the doctor or else they'll die. Really?
You shouldn't have to state that, but apparently you do, and it's still not going to do a thing.
Well, I mean, all right, everybody has this really great idea about the Pacific Northwest being kind of... groovy, go with the flow, low key kind of stuff. I know you guys from
pretty
here
chill,
don't believe
yeah.
that, but it's pretty true. There's a downside to that. And this is it, is that they'll let you, I mean, for,
well, yeah, it's hands off. Let him, let people do what they want with their children.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the attitude around here. If it's not hurting me, then sure, go ahead.
And now we're having almost yearly epidemics of totally defeatable diseases because people in this part of the world don't believe in vaxxers, which is about the only, or in vaccinations, they're anti-vaxxers, I should say. I shouldn't let my brain go immediately to internet shorthand. I really shouldn't. But that's literally the only thing. You know, you can believe in God and I'll have an interesting conversation with you. You can even to some extent be kind of medically weird and I'll give you your chance. You can believe in the flat earth and I'll just politely laugh at you while you try to convince me otherwise. If you're an anti-vaxxer, I will be just so you know, I will be trying to set your brain on fire with my brain. The entire time, I'm going to be trying to recreate something from scanners whenever you're in the room.
If you can just figure out how to do that, please let me know.
Just so we're clear, it's the only thing. I think it's the endangerment of children that really gets to me. You can endanger yourself all you like, but although you'd have to use you'd have to be that rocket guy to endanger yourself with the flat earth stuff.
Vaccinations though, man, that's where it's at. I mean, even if you don't get them, you go somewhere else, you're endangering other people.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody needs these shots. Get them.
This church is pretty interesting in from a, I guess, a sociological perspective, even though I'm trying to set their brains on fire with my brain. The Oregon branch of the church was founded by Sarah Mitchell's grandfather. It's rooted in 19th century Pentecostal Christianity. They are, of course, biblical literalists, because that's the only way. It's one of the main, not the only way. I mean, you've got the sort of woo hippie way where, you know, shun technology or whatever, but this is the pretty standard way for Christian churches to decide to avoid medicine. It's how, yeah. It's how the Church of Christ manages to get there. And that's a joke for the Christian Scientist Church where they use the Roman use. So I just call it the ch-ch.
Now they just need to handle snakes so they can
never delirp in a ch-ch.
Done faster.
They shun modern medicine, surprise. And kind of terrifying. An investigative report by the Oregonian concluded that 21 children buried in the church's cemetery between 1955 and 1998 would have been saved by modern medicine.
That's even 1955 medicine.
Which is not very good medicine.
Now, it's a small classroom, but it's a classroom. It's a fairly, it's a couple baseball teams and some spares.
That's the size of classroom you want, though. 21 kids?
Yeah.
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 It's not overcrowded.
Right. Nothing good to say about this. And, you know me, I'm trying to be on the upshot of this, but we do need to talk about this stuff. And I've been looking around to see if there's anybody who's like a former member of this church who we could talk to. And my well runneth dry on that one. I imagine if you were a member of this and left, you're probably keeping it to yourself, and I don't blame you.
I mean, we have an old friend in Idaho we could probably get in touch with.
That's possible.
Yeah,
that's true.
We could do that.
Yeah. Okay. Mental note. So maybe we'll talk about this a little later.
Yes.
The Ninth Circuit Appeals Court rejected the White House's request to suspend an injunction against Trump's new ban on transgendered people in the armed forces. The denial was the most recent block against the new White House policy, initially proclaimed on Twitter, going back to July of 2017. The injunction was held not on the merits of the case, but over a desire to preserve the status quo while a revision to the ban was considered. The Army's Chief of Staff, General Mark Milley, told the Senate Armed Services Committee they had received precisely zero reports of disruption to the Army by Obama's lifting of the transgender ban in 2016. So they're still going at it.
Of course they are.
Yeah, I guess this could be a best words thing, but the interesting thing is it's actually one of the people involved in the case, who I'm not naming it, but we're trying to get in contact with them, happens to be from Tacoma, Washington. So this is a local story to us. And, you know, I've met people who've been on both sides of, who have worked with transgendered people and who are transgendered people themselves in the military, and it universally seems to be the case that there isn't a problem there.
Yeah, if you read, like, any studies or literature or accounts about transgender people in the military, there isn't a problem at all.
And it's interesting to note that the first organization the organization that got that ban reversal rolling was the RAND Corporation, which was a military-focused but also conservative think tank in the D.C. area. And so it's like This is obviously just playing to the cheap seats for Trump. But these cheap seats, this playing to the cheap seats, this poor wrestling move, is harming people who are currently serving with distinction in the armed forces. And it's causing a problem. We're literally the only people saying there is a problem is those cheap seats. The minute you walk away from those aisles, the problem literally disappears.
But, I mean, Trump does this over and over again.
Yeah.
This is his perfect MO, where he will play to his base and then things happen when they shouldn't have. Like, this shouldn't have been a thing at all. Then something else blows up, and then he has to do this all over again, where he hurts people.
He creates artificial crises.
Absolutely.
Just so he can come out as the hero.
I mean, we could talk about, we'll be doing a little bit of the best words today, but I mean, almost the entire last week of the political spinning fecal fan has been misdirection over his failures in Helsinki. I mean, almost completely.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing is when I'm on the show, I try to play devil's advocate just to keep the conversation going. But the interesting thing about this is that literally the only people who seem to have a problem with this are the people who want to make it a moral thing. The people who are literally who like to be, you know, socially forward, who want progress in the United States are for this. People who just want to get the job done are for this. Conservative people who aren't, you know, who aren't basing their entire lives on the words of a Bronze Age book that doesn't meaningfully speak to our modern times. They're also for getting rid of this ban. There's one, unfortunately, sizable component of our population that wants to get rid of this. And because they managed to get this current president nearly elected, we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
A $36,000 award has been offered in Olympia in return for information about 3 arsons and shooting up a local Jehovah's Witness church in the area. Law enforcement is searching for a man who bought logs of a type used to later burn down a Kingdom Hall in Olympia on July 3rd. The fire was the third at a Jehovah's Witness institution in the last 5 months and had been previously targeted in March. In May, a hall in Yelm was shot 34 times. The award comes from the Thurston County Sheriff's Office, South Sound Crime Stoppers, and the Arson Alarm Foundation. Not the Anson Alarm Foundation. That's
the Arson Alarm Foundation.
I don't know who Anson Alarm is, but if he's got a foundation, you got a fake plug. Sorry. It's the Arson Alarm Foundation, which is a little bit more of a straightforward entity. Need we say that this is a bad thing?
It is a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
Goodness.
No, it seems to be, I mean, it's obvious, it seems to be hatred, a hate crime, if you will.
It seems like we've had a lot of these, there's been an uptick in the occurrences of vandalism towards religious buildings in our area recently.
Really? There have been other ones?
Yeah, we've covered this a little bit.
Oh, we talked about somebody drove into the... Mm-hmm. The Buddhist monastery.
Temple.
Down on 72nd. Yeah. Temple, not monastery. Yeah. That's a very different thing.
Yeah.
Not really my area. But, well, that's 2 data points, but that's 2 data points after several years of 0 data points. So
the synagogues in Seattle?
Ah, yes. Okay, so 3. Eh. I was thinking South Sound, but I think it's important to not be so loco. Local and the mosque in Bellevue, as Becky, who is actually listening to this on drugs. So it's the mosque in Bellevue, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Bellevue.
Oh, yeah. I need to visit
still,
there.
This is oddly specific that it's Jehovah's Witnesses. So I'm wondering, like, if this is a former a person that used to go there?
Yeah.
Or what?
We are talking about an organization that uses cult tactics to keep people in line. And I don't want to blame the victim because, well, the minute you decide to set a building on fire or you decide to shoot a person, place, or thing, the minute you point a weapon, be it a match or a gun, at a noun, you're no longer the victim. You are now the perp. That's da-da. But I can see how sometimes the Jehovah's Witnesses might create people who would become perpetrators of these sorts of hate crimes. Can I say that?
You just did?
I mean, I can string the words together. Thankful. Yes. Indeed, I can string words together. Thank you. Is that a moral thing to say? Is that actually even a moral thing to point out? Because it does sound like giving aid and comfort to the enemy in a way, doesn't it?
This person went way, way, way too far.
Absolutely.
If this is actually the case that happened, then yes. There are definitely legal recourses that they could have taken if this is what actually happened.
Well, yeah. If pain and suffering had been caused, there are occasional recourses to that. Now, me, the way I generally do it is I just live better and haha. That's my favorite kind of revenge.
But it's the best revenge is a life well lived.
But I can see how a religion that literally tries to control every aspect of your lives, to the point where some of the people that we've talked to on this show, they had interest in learning, in higher learning, in math and science and physics and engineering, and they were specifically kept away from that because that wasn't in line with the rules of the religion. It wasn't within the liberty they were allowed in their sorts of belief. And I can see how that would make someone angry.
I could see that too.
This is not the way to deal with those grievances. This is never the way to deal with those grievances. Ever, ever, ever. It's hard to talk about this sort of thing. On the other hand, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I would stick my head in a chicken. I say again, I would stick my head in a chicken.
Attention Camp Quest Northwest. Squid ink is not to be trusted or any other products like it.
Con artists have lied about this squid ink,
saying that it can give you supernatural powers that actually do not exist. These may include the following: mind reading,
boost of energy,
mosquito bite cures,
beard replenisher,
and stronger tape.
These claims have been researched and tested, proving that squid ink is not supernatural in any sort of matter.
You know what that music means? We had a premature best words, but what it means is that there's headbanging in the studio.
As much as there can be.
Yes. Well,
I don't have long hair anymore.
I'm still hurt. So, I can't whip my hair the way I used to, I have to admit. You supported the March for Science? Now what? This Friday, July 27th at 7 p.m., Susan Jerbik will be explaining why the answer is to join her project, Gorilla Skepticism, on Wikipedia, GSOW, and why improving the pages for science and scientific skepticism on the 10th most popular website improves education worldwide. Meet Susan and the crew from Ask an Atheist at 734 Pacific Avenue. Feel free to bring snacks or come a bit early and enjoy dinner at one of the fine neighboring establishments. Many thanks to the Humanists of Washington and 733 Arts for making this event possible. Again, that's this Friday, July 27th, 7 p.m. at 734 Pacific Avenue. I'm going to try to prevent the sweat from entering my mouth as I talk because, oh boy.
Salty and delicious.
It's not hot in here.
No, it's
not
it's
yet.
Only near the boiling point of water.
It's chilly.
Just wait.
So it's the best word.
It was the best of words. It was the worst.
Yeah,
of
so
words.
We call this segment Best Words, which maybe I'm the wrong guy to call it that, because Trump has the best words, right? And he had a new one today, or this week, that you showed me.
Oh, the new word that he learned?
Yeah, yeah. he learned a new word this week. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Content warning, president.
And associations. Today, 23 companies and associations are pledging to expand apprenticeships. That's an interesting word for me to be saying, right? The apprentice. I never actually put that together until just now. That was a good experience, I will tell you that. Isn't that strange, Ivanka? I never associated, but here we are. Can't get away from that word. It's a great word.
So is Ivanka actually there? Does she just talk about her like she's like a rabbit?
No, I think she was there on stage, like, okay, or right off stage. Like, he actually did turn to her and remark like, oh, Ivanka, imagine that, this word that I didn't,
said
words, the English language is magical.
Yeah. He was on a show called The Apprentice for 11,000 years,
I heard it had great ratings.
Felt to me. Did it? A frame of it has yet to land on my retina. I don't know. I checked out during the reality TV era. I really did. Maybe that means I'm just not attached to, I don't have my thumb on the pulse of the body politic and therefore shouldn't be speaking to you over a microphone, but that's just not my thing. Instead, I've been watching people play Zelda Link to the Past Randomizer all week. It's still on my mind. Oh my God. Get it out. So I get it. I sometimes play dumb socially. I didn't realize apprenticeship meant the apprentice. It sounds like something I would say. I hate to equate myself to the president, but
I don't.
I think he meant it. Yeah, that is always the question with that.
I don't think he was playing dumb.
Yeah. All right.
I really can't.
So is apprenticeship the best word of the day? Was that?
I don't know. Are there better words in this segment? Let's find out.
I don't know. Do we scream real loud? Every morning, actually. Yeah. A CBS News contributor revealed on CBS this morning that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, fist-bumped authoritarian president and nigh dictator of Turkey, Recep Erdogan, for doing things the right way. Trump also reportedly dismissed the Ukrainian and Georgian presidents in the middle of an emergency session by telling them, "We're done with you now." No, it's probably, he wasn't that nice. He was like, "We're done with you now.
You're fired."
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Probably not.
That's the best Trump impression I've ever heard. The reported fist bump came after many NATO members said increased spending would have to be deliberated in their parliaments, at which point Trump turned to the Turkish autocrat and said, except for Erdogan over there, he does things the right way.
By not going by their current political system and totally like being a dictator? Wow. Wow. Wow.
By not being a Democrat, basically, by not being democratic.
Yeah.
Now Erdogan isn't a NATO member. He's not running.
Not a full NATO.
They're an associate Turkey. Member. Yeah.
Yeah. They have
the student membership of to NATO.
Yeah.
Is that how that works? Okay. I don't know. Turkey is cool, but Turkey has like uncool problems, sort of like us, I guess. Leader you kind of hate. Anyway.
I hear the people are great. Erdogan has got some issues.
Right. Actually, I'm being informed. I'm getting an update from the news desk. The best word of the day isn't apprenticeship. It's actually blurping. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now back to the news story. So, all right. The big deal right now is last week, Trump went to Helsinki in Finland, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That is where Helsinki is.
Yes. Okay. Like, did he go to Finland or did he go to Iceland? Oh, no. The NATO thing was in Iceland, right? Is that where that was? Anyway. Never mind. Anyway, he went to Helsinki, had a two-hour-long conversation with Vladimir Putin.
Alone?
He of the...
Only with translators.
He of the pudding-slurping smirk. You know when he thinks he's getting one over on people? He gets that little lip-over-the-other-lip smirk that looks like it's designed to slurp pudding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right. Now that I put that little thing in your mind, so a lot of people have been making jokes about Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin being in a gay relationship, and a lot of people on social media have spoken up and have said that that's homophobic or that hurts equality, however you wish. And then I actually think that's absolutely true. It is. Because it makes being gay the butt of the joke rather than the behavior of these despicable human beings the butt of the joke. And so I've been trying to put my foot on it. Put my finger on it. Yeah. Kick it away, please. Because I can kind of see what people are talking about. There's sort of a tone. There's a tone to Donald Trump that's going on here. It does feel sexual, but I don't think it's.
There's definitely a tension.
I don't think it's no. It's not like a relationship thing.
No.
This is akin to somebody who puts a secret camera on his shirt so that he can take pictures of people's feet in the park. It's that kind of thing. Now, if you will, go walk with me just for a few minutes.
I'm afraid where we might go.
I want to take a trip into the mind of our president.
Yeah, no, I
in the places of yeah, and the places we don't generally talk about. Because when we talk about the sexuality of the president, we talk about the Playboy models and the lawsuits. But there seems to be something else going on here. Yeah. For example, when he was talking to Kim Jong-un.
He's going to be happy. His country does love him. His people, you see the fervor. They have a great fervor. They're going to put it together. And I think they're going to end up with a very strong country and a country which has people that they're so hardworking, so industrious. I think if you look at South Korea someday, maybe in the not too distant future, it will be something you like see that. His-
Now, you think I'm talking about this just to bring up North Korea again, because people seem to think I like North Korea. I don't like North Korea, but it's an interesting subject. Have you ever heard of Donald Trump talk about any other nation that was not run by an autocratic strongman in such terms? Does he talk about Canada that way? No. Does he talk about France that way? No. Does he talk about the UK that way? No. Does he talk about Germany that way? Not at all. He talks about Germany like it's run by like an evil school teacher, which is a different thing. No, he reserves words like that for autocratic, strongman, dictator-style leaders. And not even of religious nations, because you'll notice his new shiny thing that he threw at, they threw at the press to get them to stop talking about how terrible Helsinki was him going after a different style of autocratic leader, Iran, and not Khomeini, but whatever his name is now, where that's a religious that's a religiously derived dictatorship. He's not into that because that doesn't let him do all the things that he likes to do. He likes strong men. Yeah, so he threw something at that Rouhani. That was the guy's
name. Yeah, he did it all caps fire and fury again.
Yeah, all caps fire and fury, which, you know, he was doing that to
you mess with the U.S., you'll pay.
Yeah, but
like never before.
But you'll notice that we're not talking about Russia when we're talking about this.
We're still not talking about the kids that haven't been reunited with their families.
Yeah, that's also true. Now, so that was when we were talking with North Korea. So let's fast forward to today, or last week.
With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer. Okay, thank you.
So an aside conversation about this is... I'm reading this, and then I saw on the Hill the political blog. They go, Putin offering this is his way to learn what our intelligence knows about election altering and their operation. And I'm like, duh,
yeah,
yeah, okay. I don't have the security acumen to not throw a game of Pictionary. I'm not the best at keeping secrets, and that was obviously transparent to me. I was like, yeah, duh, that's the first thing you'd say. Yeah, I'll help you track down my own security guys. That'll be great. Yeah, you want those 12 people? Yeah. Hey, let me talk to a few of your guys too about stuff that you don't need to know what it's about, but I want to talk about it. And I was like, yeah, what idiot would not recognize that this is a clear counterintelligence op? And then
Donald Trump,
yeah, beat. Oh, right. The president. Boy, I hope they put this on Fox News.
Well, they kind of have been. They've been talking directly to him recently.
Right.
It's kind of weird how they just like right at the camera. Just
well,
like,
because
Donald
sometimes
Trump
he calls back and talks unhinged for 25 minutes.
Yeah, he just calls into the show sometimes.
Yeah.
with like McGriddle wrappers on his
on totally
his chest.
Fine. Yeah. State television.
Yeah.
Right here.
So most people rightly are paying attention to this part.
In his denial today, and what he did is an incredible offer.
But me, I've been paying attention to this guy and the way he talks. And, you know, I heard this.
Extremely strong and powerful.
It stood out to me.
Extremely strong and powerful.
It didn't really fit the rest of the sentence. The extremely strong and powerful denial. No.
Those are the wrong words.
I mean, sometimes you misspeak. Sometimes when you're not a person who spends a lot of time talking to other people, you have problems speaking the right words, and you reach for near enough words and just toss them out there. But you look at the way he talks about these kinds of leaders, and he doesn't say, you know, a strong denial, a powerful denial, an emphatic denial, a denial in the strongest powerful terms. He said Putin is extremely strong, or Putin has a string extremely strong and powerful. Wait, what was it?
Extremely strong and powerful.
Thank you, Mr. President. Denial. And it just kind of stuck out like a sore thumb to me in this conversation. And so what I'm telling you is that I think the president has a power kink.
Oh, definitely. I've had that feeling for a bit.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think Putin is anywhere. It's one of those kinks where you don't have to even be a part of it. It's like the furtive guy with the camera in the park where he's taking photographs of people's shoes. The shoe person is a part of this, whether they want to be or not. Sometimes you find somebody who will, you know, let you take advantage of that for money or whatever. And maybe Putin's one of those people. We don't know because we weren't in the room for the meat of that conversation. The only thing we've been able to complain about is the parts that we've been able to see. And those were bad enough. I think he's got a power kink. And I mean, not only do you see it there, but you see it kind of reflected in the way he ran his personal organization, the Trump Organization. Where it was a pyramidal structure. It was a monarchical structure. It was a strongman structure. It was about him. They had a picture of him in every office, like Kim Jong-un has a picture in every home. And so he wants places to be like that, to the point where in that quote about Kim Jong-un, he said eventually he actually favorably compared North Korea to South, and that maybe someday South Korea will be more like North Korea. Can we compare the GDPs of these two nations and maybe, you know, figure out why that might not be the most fantastic of ideas? Or maybe not even just the GDP, because that's an easy metric. But
the size of their waist belts.
Oh, you know, yeah, I was going to say, you know what an even better metric would be? The daily caloric intake.
Yeah.
That would be better. But my argument is, I think it's a power kink. I think the way this country is being run... This country is being run by a foot fetishist, is what I'm saying.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay. I don't know. It's one of those, I'm wearing tinfoil right now. All right. I've got a chalkboard. I've got like
no, there's
a map with yarn. I mean, yeah, I am gesticulating wildly.
I have that sense as well.
Do I truly believe? I don't know if I really believe it or not, but man, it feels that way and it explains it. A little bit. I mean, you can say that he just likes powerful people and wants to work with powerful people, but
there's something special in the way that
there's
he fawns over
there. Yeah.
These
Trump knows leaders. That he's not at the top of a pyramid.
Yeah.
And he wants to sit at the feet of somebody who is.
So this is just my personal my personal, not theory, but a joke I've been sharing with myself, and now I share with you. Oh, by the way, it was wouldn't. I wouldn't stick my head up a chicken. Just sorry. I forgot to mention that, and I misspoke in the first season, or in the first part. I wouldn't stick my head up a chicken. Now, other people, they might stick their heads up chickens. There are people's heads up chickens on both sides of this argument. But no, I wouldn't stick my head up a chicken. Anyway, my point is, if there was ever a powerful nation that had as its head, at the apex of its power, a Playboy model who had complete dominance over the country, the president might stroke out. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Go to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about anything other than the president, please!
Seth Olapod is lying to you. Her mind-reading glass thingies are stupid. They don't do anything. Seth Olapod is a creepy stalker slash eavesdropper and is creepy, and she just randomly popped up in camp when we were talking about UA Gold. Be on the watch for that creep who's stupid. Don't buy her crap and waste your gold. Did I mention she was stupid? Don't trust her. Don't buy her crap. Don't even talk to her. She will find you, stalk you while you are asleep, and kill you.
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. Cephalopod is not real.
I know.
Welcome back. That happened. This is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's got to be one of the weirdest subjects I've ever done on this show.
Yeah?
My conspiracy theory about the President of the United States having a kink.
It's not even a real conspiracy theory.
It's because it only involves multiple people, or it doesn't involve multiple people. But it's got sort of a Warren Ellis-esque...
Is it the lizard people that are behind this then?
No, doesn't require lizard people. Lizard people would make it more fun. I will say it was a bit experimental. It's not something I've done before.
It's something I could see in Transmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did it work? I don't know. Should I do it again? How do you talk about that kind of segment without making it sound completely creepy?
Honestly?
Yeah, I suppose.
I guess.
Napier Fuller, a Catholic man from North Carolina who has violated restraining orders and spent the last year in court over religiously themed harassment, is threatening to sue Orange County, North Carolina over the display of gay pride flags at a courthouse. Reporters following up on the charge were unable to find evidence of any such display, and Fuller refuses to send an image he allegedly took to the press because his email had been compromised. Fuller is seeking a permanent injunction to prevent the display of gay pride flags on government property, saying that displaying the flags is a secular humanist religious belief. He is representing himself in court. So,
surprise!
So no story here then. This isn't going anywhere.
I did look up that there are actually 4 Orange counties in the nation.
Okay, because...
So this one is actually in North Carolina.
I did kind of wonder if this would show... If this stayed if this made it out of the Darwinian writing process that is Ask an Atheist, because we thought it was a little bit more local than the other side of the country. I did wonder that. But then I read the kind of stuff that this guy writes, and it's... Fuller is in trouble for harassing LGBT supporters at UNC Chapel Hill via emails which contain lines like, "We pray that God's wrath may swiftly come upon those that seek to promote sexual paganism," one read.
Really? That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Sexual paganism.
Would sexual paganism describe what I was describing last segment? Is that a kind of sexual paganism? He does seem to be interested in many subjects. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, so long as somebody's wearing some goat legs.
Now, is that a callback to pagan religions, or is that a callback to Dragnet the movie?
There you go.
Okay, that... That was great. That's actually a surprisingly not terrible movie.
I enjoyed it. I love Dan Aykroyd in that.
So this guy decided to start just harassing people via email, and restraining orders were filed against him, and he was like, never mind, restraining orders. You know, I'm following God's law. Whatever. Ignores them. So he's been in and out of church, or in and out of jail, probably in and out of church as well. In and out of courts. And he went to the courthouse and apparently saw gay pride flags and was trying to say, none of that, no more of that.
Because it's a secular humanist religious belief.
Yeah.
In
sexual paganism.
Yes. That makes sense.
You just try and string along a bunch of words together that you don't like.
That should be a song. Sexual paganism, that should be like a song.
Sexual paganism.
Something like that, yeah. Anyway. Problem is, bunch of reporters from multiple news agencies, as far as I could tell, tried to find these flags to get pictures of them, because like a picture would sort of explain what he was talking about and what his thing was about.
Yeah.
Nobody can find it.
So he's like railing on against nothing.
Pretty much.
Really? Yeah. No evidence.
Just... maybe somebody was walking past the courthouse with a flag.
Yeah.
Meh.
You know what? It just made me think of my Dr. Bronner soap labels, and that's why I included it. Have you ever seen that All is One? Dilute, dilute, dilute. Okay.
No.
Next time you're in my bathroom, rummage around in my shower.
Sure.
And find my soap and read the label. Okay. It's pretty great.
Dilute, dilute, dilute.
Yeah, dilute, dilute, dilute.
Okay.
Dave from the internet outside of the U.S. writes, as one of your probably many non-subject of the Donald listeners, what is a Canadian girlfriend, apart from a girl who is your partner, and that comes from Canada?
Well, I can tell you that she wears a lot of denim.
I don't know what that means.
Because everybody in Canada has a Canadian tuxedo made of denim.
Wow. So there are Canadian slurs that I just didn't know.
You don't know about Canadian tuxedos?
No, I don't.
A Canadian
girlfriend
is
just a fake girlfriend.
And yes.
It's a non-existent girlfriend. You say you have a girlfriend in Canada because at least for here, it's like close enough to actually be plausible.
Well, yeah.
But it's Canada. So, she can't come down. She's real busy. Well, Canadian girlfriend never going to meet.
It's not just here. Like a person in the United States who a specific kind of boastful young male individual who is trying to establish himself as something a little greater than he is, trying to make a case for himself, trying to make him a bigger, you know, just I'm a cool guy,
male.
Trying to be an alpha male, will say he has a girlfriend when he does not. And then when called upon that by his friends,
challenging males,
when it's challenged, oh, you'll never see her. She lives in Canada. And it's not just here.
Only ever heard it here.
It was a thing in Chicago.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's dudes down in San Antonio that have girlfriends in Monterey, Mexico.
Oh, that's a different thing. That's a less good thing. Yeah. We'll not be discussing that here. But usually, spent most of my life in the northern half of the country. It may be different in the southern half of the country. But, it was a stand-in for, it was somebody's invisible fake girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, it's a fairly common joke, which is why I didn't need to explain it to the people in the room. They'd heard it as well. Wait, no, we made Canadian girlfriend jokes in Arizona. And apparently Becky, really? who is just feeding me poorly spelled hints, says it was John Hughes movies of the 80s also made the joke. So that's probably what it's from. And a lot of those John Hughes movies featured Chicago as a location, because
both of them have hospitals too.
Yeah. Their suburbs are enormous.
John Hughes and John Hopkins. Both have.
Are we just going to keep adding consonants to this, to the point?
John Hopkins and Hughes's.
But yes, he actually does have a Canadian girlfriend, so I should...
Well, yeah, the person we were talking about actually has a girlfriend in Canada, which is a little bit more plausible, because Canada is like 2 hours north of here.
Yeah.
But at the joke, at the time, you can't avoid making that kind of joke, man.
It's mandatory. He's 16-year-old.
Oh, you said mandatory.
Yeah, you kind of got to rib the kid a little bit.
Oh,
sometimes.
A little. Yeah, totally. A Kentucky pastor sent out dozens of letters to parishioners to officially remove their membership, angering the disenfranchised. Senior Pastor Ryan Boers of Cave City Baptist Church mailed over 50 letters to parishioners that he said were not attending church regularly and had broken fellowship with God. Former member Samantha Esters received one of these letters. She was a lifelong member until the pastor sent her a letter. Samantha will no longer attend and now believes there is no love to be found at that church. So,
my goodness.
What's going on with this one?
The guy's just not nice. I mean... apparently, people were going to this church even as recently as like a couple weeks ago, like Esther here,
mm-hmm.
and they were just getting letters, just kicking them out of the church, saying, you are no longer fellowshipping with God. So, you know, the church is always open, so come back and bring your sorry behind back to the church and repent, and then we'll, you know, bring you back into the fold. But
okay.
Yeah, just not a nice person.
Yeah, the tone of this letter here was really shameful, and the pastor even, like, admitted, like, I'm just trying to, like, shame people into going back to church. Doesn't matter if it's his church. If he's like, if I send this letter and it makes people go anywhere, that's cool.
Oh, this is sure, this is just an attention
coercing
grab,
people to go back to church,
oh,
I guess.
Okay. A Republican representative who is up for re-election this year is defending a swath of misogynist and racist comments he made while hosting a radio show in 2012. Jason Lewis from Minnesota's 2nd District repeatedly demeaned women on his show, The Jason Lewis Show, and drew attention this week when audio surfaced of him lamenting that women could no longer be called sluts. Oh, man. Thanks for... Whoever wrote this, thanks for making me say that. Damn it. Now it's on my soundboard. Lewis explained his comments, saying that while he was paid to be provocative on the show, the comments were part of a rhetorical discussion on current cultural standards, and that being able to shame people for not behaving as their parents did is really outrageous. Lewis frequently made racially charged comments about African Americans on his show as well, claiming that blacks are addicted to government benefits and their entitlement mentality leads them to be violent.
This guy's a real piece of work.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to say any of those things.
Wow. Okay. Minnesota. Is it the same area that What's-Her-Face was a part of?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anything?
No.
I have nothing except for this guy is terrible, and it makes me vomit that people think that they can say things like this. The thing that really gets me, though, is he said these things in 2012, and nobody batted an eye. Why is it a big deal now? I mean, I know why it's a
big
I've
deal never
now.
Heard of it. Well, it's a big deal now because he's running for office.
Right. Rerunning for office.
But a Jason Lewis show, I've never heard of it. Was it local to a region or?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, if I ever ran for office, I imagine half the things that I've said would probably end up in, you know, opposition commercials. On the other hand, I don't say that we I don't talk about why we can't call women bad names or, you know, an entire group of people are addicted to benefits that make them violent. I mean,
I'm still looking forward to the opposition commercial saying that you're going to stuff your head up a chicken.
Yeah, that's it. I would not stuff my head up a chicken, though. I made that. I didn't. Yeah, you misheard me.
Oh,
totally
sorry,
misheard
sorry.
Me. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all on you. I was right the whole time.
Why are people like this out there?
There's a whole bunch of quotes here that this guy said that I'm not going to read because yikes.
It gets worse.
Yeah, it's way worse. And I don't know. Just today, I don't feel like adding to my horrible, horrible soundboard. I've got this. Okay. Confession time. Mm. I do have this horrible nightmare, and it has been a nightmare, that somebody is going to make a soundboard of me every time I read one of these news stories and I have to quote some horrible politician saying some horrible thing about religious people or non-religious people. And then, you know, somebody's going to make a commercial of me saying that I was in favor of the Trail of Tears or something like that. And it's going to be something I completely don't believe and didn't actually say. And it's going to kind of ruin my life.
Except you just said it now.
Except, yeah.
So there's more fodder for the soundboard.
Well, of course. Yeah. The problem is the only way I can make it go away is to never talk again.
Or beat him to the punch. Make one and put it out on Patreon.
Why would I do that?
Make your own soundboard. Have some fun.
No, I made one for Becky, actually. I did make a Becky soundboard for Patreon and even.
Oh boy.
The introduction of the Patreon episodes, I actually recorded using one of my shortwave radios, a small FM transmitter, my field recorder, and a little soundboard I made for Becky saying numbers in Spanish, and I made it sound like a numbers station. So it's got Becky saying, atención, atención, you know, 8-6-7-5-3-0-9-2-1, but in Spanish. And it sounds really, it sounds like it's a distant station, and there's a lot of AM static because it's a weak station with a lot of AM static. And I was like, that's really, I was really proud of doing it. So I actually have made a soundboard of Becky. It does not include the word dlerping. Unfortunately. Yeah. And Becky also suggests that dlerping equals sexual paganism, but it does not. Becky has already spoken. Dlerping now replaces the word sleeping, which is easy because it's a fairly easy regex because it's the same number of letters. This Friday, a district court judge ruled against Catholic Social Services, which refused to place foster children into LGBT homes. The organization sued the city of Philadelphia after the city discovered that they violated the city's fair practice ordinance and stopped working with the organizations. Judge Patrice Tucker of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania ruled that the city of Pennsylvania has a legitimate interest in ensuring public services are available to all, while also avoiding future equal protection and establishment clause issues. Catholic Social Services has already filed an appeal.
Of course they have.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, children should be able to go to any good house.
If you're an agency providing public services, don't have your religion be a part of it.
Right.
If you can't perform a job and be equal to everyone, contract. I don't know, maybe a Catholic Social Services group isn't appropriate.
This is one of those where I am actually a little bit worried about the future, because we, you know, it looks like the Democrats aren't going to do what they should and maybe wait to see if the president is arrested before letting this Supreme Court justice in.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already faced a fair number of equal protection and establishment clause erosions in the cases of social services, going all the way back to the beginning of this century with George W. Bush and his, what did they call it? You know, where they started giving money, public money, to religious organizations, to religious charities, a practice which Obama upheld. And this may just be a continuing of it, but in this case, it's, I could see it being strengthened because there are the religious needs and freedoms of the people who wish to adopt and of the people being adopted, while they are generally secondary in these sorts of cases, they are often considered. But I'm afraid that in this kind of thing could be overturned in the very near future.
There's a high likelihood it could be.
Yeah.
We just need to have more justices on the Supreme Court.
That occurred to me as well.
Kind of like that idea.
Once upon a time, a certain three-term president thought he would try to stack the deck on the Supreme Court. Didn't get that. It was widely considered to be a good idea, or widely considered to be a good thing that he did not. But it's a different era out there. You know, I mean, now corporations are people,
mm-hmm.
and money is speech. And that's basically the recipe for an oligarchy. And stacking, I don't know. These are complex things, and I'm not going to solve them tonight. This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Our email address is questions@atheist.radio. Our website is atheist.radio. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. Thank you, Wes.
Good luck and good night.
Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Catch you guys next week.